It's Christmas Eve at Calvary. A decades-old element of this service involves the ancient carol, O Come, Emmanuel. It is rich with meaning, longing for Emmanuel to enter our world. But what drives this longing? Well, the final stanza provides part of the answer. It says, O come, desire of nations, bind all people in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Peace is just as elusive in our culture today as it was when Rome controlled Judea. Surely you've noticed. Turmoil is strong today between nations and countries, within America's states, cities, communities, and even within families. Yet, the Prince of Peace did enter our world, almost unnoticed by anyone except for some common shepherds, attentively watching over their flocks. Although most in that day would have ignored the shepherds, it is very fitting that God chose the shepherds to be the first to meet the great shepherd, Jesus. Surely they would have missed it had an angel of the Lord not appeared to them with an announcement of his arrival as an infant boy resting in a manger in nearby Bethlehem. Then a great multitude of angels appeared. Remember what they declared? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. This divine child, the very Son of God, grew up as all boys do. Later on, as a grown man, pointing to his redemptive mission, he told his disciples, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. For to us a child is born, and his name shall be called Prince of Peace.
Peace. What comes to mind when you hear that word? Is it an image? Maybe wandering in the forest where the woods are just full of snow, so much that it silences all the sounds. Is it the carol? You know, silent night, holy night, all is calm. Is it a place, you know, that spot in your house? Maybe it's late at night, everyone else is in bed. You're sitting by the fireplace, and it is your spot for reading and thinking and relaxing. Maybe peace represents a situation. You know, when you're in that spot where all of your needs of you and your family are stable, there's good things going on, just life is going along, and you feel peace. Is it simply the absence of conflict? Well, peace is really a critical part of the Nativity story, the story of the gift. Now, John has been reminding us of that. The songs that we have sung point to that. Even in the recent weeks in our church life, we've been thinking about Jesus being the gift. And what is it? What is it that Isaiah said? You heard it just moments ago. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of his increase of his government, and of peace there will be no end. That is a fascinating prophecy. How would we define the word peace, though? Is it really one of those things that we just tried to describe? Well, you know, Britannica never condenses anything. Here's their definition. Number one, a state in which there is no war or fighting, an agreement to end the war. Number two, a quiet and calm state, whether in private or public. Number three, a state in which a person is not bothered by thoughts or feelings of doubt, guilt, or worry. Okay, I understand that. Number four, their final one, a state in which people do not argue or cause trouble. That's Britannica. Oxford and Merriam-Webster had a similar thought in mind. They said it's freedom from disturbance. It's a state of tranquility. Much shorter. You get it? And then the Cambridge Dictionary, it's really kind of encompassing all of that. A state of not being interrupted or annoyed by worry, problems, noise, or unwanted actions. And that covers everything from noise in the household to what's going on in the world, the troublesome of circumstances that make you worry. The Bible uses two words to talk about this word, peace. That's how it's translated. One of them is Greek and one of them is Hebrew. And even if you only know one word of Hebrew, I bet it's this one. It's the word for peace. Shalom. It's the absence of conflict, but it's a lot more than that. It also means the presence of something better. So that the understanding is it's a completeness. A wholeness. You know, it was used to describe even a wall. A wall with shalom. Yeah, it means there was no cracks, no gaps, no bricks missing from it. It was as it should be. That was the picture. Or in Job 5, verse 24, it says, you shall know that your tent is at peace. And you read that and you think, tent at peace? How can an item like a tent be at peace? Well, the verse goes on to describe, because there's nothing missing from your flock, that your holdings are secure. See, the state of shalom was what the Old Testament kings of Israel were supposed to cultivate, but they rarely did. When it did happen on occasion, it was brief. It really didn't last all that long. Well, the New Testament word, translating that word of shalom, is called erene. And that is the simple two words that are in the Bible. So why do we need this peace anyway? That's one question. Then, really, how is it obtained? Where is it found? How do I get it? I mean, if it's in the Bible that way, there's got to be something there for us. Well, why do we need it? I hope it's so obvious that we don't have to spend long on any of these points, really. But do you know there were over 8,000 treaties signed in history? There's records of that many of them. Most of them last 2 years or less. Isn't that amazing? Right. Between 1990 and 2018, over 1,700 peace agreements were signed through the United Nations. Oh, and then they added to that, they've got 600 more documents of multilateral agreements. You know what that means? That means it's not just between two nations now, but a cluster of people, of groups, of nations. Is it working? No, all we got to do is think about Israel and Hamas for a bit. And you know that conflict is going on. Why? Oh, because of the murder, because of the hostages. Yeah. How's it working out in Ukraine, in Russia? Not so good, is it? No, in fact, now Ukraine has been launching attacks inside Russia by quite a distance, and Russia said there's going to be a price to pay, and Russia's offered warnings to others that might assist. How's it working out for China and Taiwan? Things are heating up there. The U.S. is kind of caught in this spot, and don't you see what's happening? It doesn't matter where we go. There's that kind of disruptive behaviors. But just as much as we might desire peace at a national level, it's more than matched by a need for peace at the personal level, a sincere desire to get along with one another. Surely you've seen that as well. Do you know what the most used, most written about term was in 2024? It is the word polarization. Polarized. Because, and when Merriam-Webster was going after this little bit of Trivial Pursuits as they're concerned about language, they said it's not just highlighting a difference of opinion. No, something else is going on. Because when we retreat to the outer edges of it, there's no more common ground. And so the polarization means that middle ground where there's points of agreement gets smaller and smaller, and then there's just battle lines drawn, depending on your viewpoint. We hear about it all the time. Just this week, I heard about our president commuting the sentences of 37 convicted murderers. Oh, they aren't released, but they're not going to be put to death. They're going to have life imprisonment. And you know what? The families of those victims that were murdered are in just an outrage. And you can understand that. I mean, this was not something they arranged. It was something that the court systems did. And so you see it going on all around. And it enters siblings within the family unit. Parents and kids, children and parents have that problem. Spouses can have a lack of peace and harmony there. It happens in the workplace, everywhere we look. Do you see why we need it? It's ugly. It's distasteful. Nobody really likes it. Nobody wants to be in a bad mood and aggravating everybody else for the entire day, week, or month. But why does it happen? To simplify it, it's as simple as the ABCs that are outlined in Scripture. We are alienated from God. That's the A. What's that mean? We're operating on our terms, not what God wants. And so we're chasing things that are important to us. The B, we're in bondage to our desires. We want what's important to us, and that takes us away from what might be valuable to somebody else. And the third is it creates the conflict with God. We're on a different operating plan than what he would like. And therefore, you can't have peace. Oh, the same prophet that wrote about the child being born, a son being given, the Prince of Peace said in Isaiah 57, he said, "Peace, peace. To the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal them." He's giving us the heart of God. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. The one that operates according to their plan is contrary to him. Oh, and then, what about those of us that convey peace and tranquility when we're with people, but inside there's something else going on, something else brewing? That internal peace is missing too, and that's what causes the tragedy that occurred within our state. With a teen girl opening up on people in her school and then taking her own life, something else is going on there. See, a key element in defining what peace is, it's knowing that our account with God is settled, that our debt is paid. It's been canceled out. We don't bear responsibility eternally for that. That's what John was talking about moments ago when he read that verse from Ephesians. Shalom, or the New Testament word Eirene, can't be realized outside of the light of God's countenance and the blessing of God's grace and his goodness. That's what's really behind that Aaronic blessing that he was told to pronounce to the children of Israel when he was the high priest. You remember that from Numbers 6? And if I say number 6, you won't remember it, but I dare say if I start talking about this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. It's there, isn't it? Where do we find it? The Prince of Peace, the peace that will never end. So that passage in Luke 2 that we often get to at this point, and it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. So the very entrance of this child is the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote about so many centuries before. That this child is going to bring peace. Yeah. In fact, when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 14, he says, Eirene, I leave with you. My Eirene, my peace. I'm going to not just remove the conflict, but I'm going to give you everything. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now, I've got to tell you, this is not just a promise for prosperity. Don't think about it in that terms. No, he's talking about the things that really count for eternity. Those things will be there. The things that are critically needed for you will be met by him. He's going to tell us how we can have that peace living in a world that's bent on just strife and division and conflict and fighting, and we're here, but he's saying we will have his peace. Yes, a few chapters later, do you know what he said? He said, I've said these things to you so that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but I've overcome it. So how's it obtained? If its source is coming from Jesus, Jesus entered our world, and now here we are, all these centuries later, how do we understand this? And I think there are two very human reactions. And the first one is, you're right. Man, this place isn't operating like it ought to be, but I'm going to fix it. See, I'm going to be so focused on that in the months ahead. It's going to be one of my New Year's resolutions that I bring a level of peace and harmony, whether I'm at work or in family situations, wherever I am. I'm going to try to do that. And I would just say, please be aware of one thing. Why do you think that our world is in the chaos it's in? How long does peace, even just the mere absence of conflict, last? It doesn't last very long at all. All of that's done with human determination. So if you think that you're going to be able to win this one, you won't. And that leads you to another response. And it may be, all right, I need help. It's got to be somebody outside me because I don't understand all of this, but I need some help. And if that's where you are looking at the world and wondering what's going to happen, just realize that that's what Christmas is truly all about. The Christmas message isn't as much about us finding God, but God intervening in our world. That's why, even if you analyze the grammar of that verse from Isaiah 9, for to us a son is born, to us a son is given. We haven't done anything for that. That's God's doing. This peace is going to come from this one who is promised. It's not ours. So why do we talk about that on Christmas Eve? See, I think there's a tendency that we have. So sometimes, I know we've got guests here, we always do with these services, and maybe perhaps it's one or two or a few people here that they don't normally get to church very much, but you enjoy this service and you come, and we're so glad you're here. It was a great opportunity for music and thinking about being the reason that God sent his son. But the puzzle, the big puzzle about Jesus is given in Scripture. But what we have at Christmas time is we zero in on Luke 2 or Matthew 2, and we've got the nativity. I like puzzles. At my house, there's a table that we'll put up, and I'll spread the pieces out there, and I'll go after that. I developed a love for that because I did it with my grandma growing up, and I just kept going with that. Not everybody likes puzzles. And please, if you've got a truckload of puzzles at your house, don't bring them to me, because I've got some to share too. But what happens is, do you ever watch? Some people will notice the puzzle. They'll come up and put a piece or two together, and they're happy. In fact, all they're doing is fussing around with what's going on so they can talk to you for a few minutes, and then they're done. And some people may even set it up with good intentions, but they never devote themselves to putting the puzzle together, so they get a little cluster of the parts that are the colors and the pictures that you can piece together rather quickly, and then 3, 4, 5 weeks later, they're saying, I'm never going to get this done. It goes back in the box. Do you know that sometimes that's what happens at Christmas? We look at the nativity, we think about the part that goes together. Oh, that's Mary and Joseph, and there's the babe. Here are the gifts that the wise men brought. Oh, look at the shepherds. You see, and they're in that little spot, but it's not the whole picture. But you say, but the whole picture is the Word of God. Yeah, but that's hard. I don't think I can ever understand it. That's why I'm talking about peace. That Jesus said, I'm going to bring the peace. Because I really believe that when you see what the purpose for Jesus entering our world is, it changes everything. And that's what he wants to present to you. That's why we're calling him the gift. But as John and the others that were up here, they had to be willing to receive what he was offering. So if your life internally is not at peace, if you've got the conflict that's all over the place and you don't even know how you're going to cope for another year with this kind of stuff, realize that the answer still is the gospel of Jesus. That's what he brings. I don't know if you've understood that, but I dare say if you're only excited about Christmas and the Christmas story once a year, there's something missing. It's something fantastic. The forgiveness of your infractions on God's holy standard, your debt is, that's peace, knowing that your account with God is settled once for all, not because you're a good person, but because Jesus said, I'm going to take that sin off of your account. I've paid for it when I went to the cross. That's the message of Christmas. I hope that you can personalize that gift tonight or in the days, weeks ahead. And we'd be honored if you had more questions, any guests that are here, or those that have been part of Calvary for a while. We'd love to answer that. Okay, our time is gone. We have a tradition, and it's more than just incorporating O Come Emmanuel into the service on Christmas Eve. This one involves candles. In just a moment, I'm going to give you some instructions on those people that are on the aisle seats. Some of you have been here for years. You know what this is. I always take time to explain it. First off, for parents with young children here, please you assist or prevent them from participating with a candle on their own. And we generally like grade school kids that are old enough to really pay attention not only to a lit flame but to the surroundings. If you get a lit flame next to long hair, there's not much of a chance that we'll avoid a catastrophe there. When you have a lit candle, hold it upright all the time. This little guard here protects you from hot wax. The person that's lighting their candle come in at 90 degrees, and when that candle's lit, the next one will come in that way. And in a moment, I'm going to just say, what we want you to do is, in fact, you can, those on the aisle seats, go ahead and grab those plastic boxes in the back. They're still there under the aisle seats, the end chairs there, and make sure people in your row get those. And then in a moment, we're going to fill the front. We're making a big loop between both aisles, the front and the back, and it's going to be full. It's going to be crowded. And then we're going to sing together as we light these candles. So once you have your candle and others in your row do, then move to the aisles. And John will come and direct us as we sing while these candles are being lit.
When do you want me to start?
Not till we start. Can we turn this? Fill in at both the front and the back. And it's going to take us a minute to get there. If you want to participate, I get it. If you want to just stay and listen and watch what happens. I just stepped off the platform and the lights are bright. My eyes are getting adjusted to the absence of that. But this gospel message is critically important. And I love what happens as this light is passed from one person to the next. Because we have such a large group, I'm going to ask a couple of people to light candles from the tables here as well as the back, and we'll start lighting the candles. Please pay attention to your immediate surroundings, and while that happens, we're going to sing. John, would you get us started with Silent Night?
Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Virgin Mother and Child, Holy Infant so tender and sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night,
Heavenly
Christmas to all of you. When we blow out the candles, please put your hand behind it and blow it out gently. I'd like to ask that you get your candle back into one of these boxes, and we're going to use it at the next service. And in a moment, if you can, I had one more thing I would like to do. Let me, while I have your attention, explain this. Junior Gonzalez and his wife Marilyn are headed to Cuba on the 2nd of January, and they are taking some much needed resources to their family, but also the believers that are there. Cuba has had hurricanes, an earthquake that has taken out the power, and there's tremendous need there. And they will be traveling there. They're right over here, and I'm going to ask that they, can you come to the platform? Everybody be careful with your candles, and we'll... And I did this mainly so you could see them. So we want to pray for them before we dismiss here and ask that God would give them an effective ministry and a good time reconnecting with some of their family members that they haven't seen for some time. For our guests here, the Gonzalez's are helping us establish a bilingual church speaking Spanish and eventually English and Spanish will both be part of that ministry. It is a little bit now already. And they are investing their energies there. So they're part of our church family, and we're trying to get that work in Plainfield there. Would you join me in prayer, please? Thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life. And I know that the Gonzalez's, as a family, have been investing time in Plainfield, helping people there understand that. But they also have an involved trip to go back to Cuba. And their government is very different in that country than ours. And I know that the need is great. I know there are a lot of things that have to line up just right for their connection. And I pray your blessing upon Brother Junior and on her sister, Miralyn. And we pray that you would give them safety. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now you can blow out those candles and get them back to the boxes. Thank you for your presence here today.